KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:01, we have clear skies, 62 degrees in Atlantic. Looking forward to be sunny here today with a high of 90. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you this hour by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Atlantic School District Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein said Tuesday night that he's excited about the school year that begins this morning, and so are the teachers. There's even two new buses to help transport students to and from school and to special or athletic events.
I think there's an excitement in the air. Those of you that got a chance to see the two new school buses out front, they brought up. I think your money very well spent. I think that both those buses will give us a good number of years of service, and interested to see how that propane bus performs.
And by the way, you can see pictures of those buses on our website under the same story at KJAN.com. The school board, you may recall, agreed back in March to purchase both a new propane and diesel-powered bus because an 84-passenger bus in the fleet was on its last legs and a 64-passenger bus was nickel and diming the district to death. The new 84-passenger diesel bus has a larger undercarriage carrying capacity, while the smaller propane-powered bus is expected to save the district money in the long run. Both buses arrived Tuesday. In other business, Amstein said told the board he had good news and bad news as far as the district meeting requirements of the Iowa Department of Education. He said based on a letter he recently received from the DOE, Atlantic meets all the requirements for the 2012-2013 school year. He says that makes a good statement that the teachers and administrators are on top of the situation and the district is doing everything possible to align itself with the DOE.
I was proud to get that letter. You never want to be in non-compliance of that, and I think Atlantic has a pretty good record of that, so I was pretty pleased with that.
Amstein said, however, there are some areas where the district still needs to work on with regard to the annual yearly progress or AYP report.
I think the biggest thing for me is that the district is now off any state list, and that was one of my goals when I first got here, is that I didn't think we should have been on that, and I think teachers and administrators have proven me right, and I think the support of the board has helped teachers and administrators get to that point. But for the 12-13 school year, AYP status for the district is that we meet all requirements, so that is good news, and I'm glad to hear that.
He says the Atlantic High School has been removed from the watch list in reading and math, delay one for the 2012-2013 year. He says continued work at the high school by next year at this time, they should be in delayed two for mathematics and be removed from watch list in reading. The middle school is listed as SENA 3, or a school in need of assistance, which means some work needs to be done to improve student test scores. Amstein said Principal Cam Smith has plans in place to address the needs of his students and point the middle school in the right direction. Amstein says that Schuler Elementary is on the watch list for reading and mathematics and is a SENA 1 school.
Because they are a SENA 1 school, they're a Title 1 school, we do have to do an improvement plan for that school, and I think Mr. Alexander will be working on that to get that addressed in the C plan.
Washington Elementary is on the watch list for reading, but they've been removed from the watch list for mathematics.
Within those statuses, we do have some things to celebrate, but we also know that there are some things that we need to go ahead and address.
I'll have more news after this. News time is 8:05.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Iowa Transportation Commission passed an emergency rule Tuesday that goes into effect today. The rule deals with the penalties for illegally passing a stopped school bus. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
Governor Terry Branstad signed a bill into law earlier this year known as Caden's Law. It was named after 7-year-old Caden Halverson of Kensett, who was killed on May 10th of 2011 as she attempted to get on a school bus, and it increases the penalties for people who pass a stopped school bus. The rules approved by the Transportation Commission were needed to allow the DOT to start enforcing the new penalties as school gets underway for some districts. Under the rules, a person's driver's license could be suspended for 30 days on the first conviction, 90 days for the second, and 180 days for a third or subsequent conviction. The law also allows for jail time of up to 30 days for the first offense and 1 year after that for repeat violators. I'm Dar Danielson.
Iowa Governor Terry Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds say they'll be holding 14 education town hall meetings in the next next few weeks. The meetings are a continuation of discussion on education reform policies and designed to obtain feedback from the public in preparation for the 2013 legislative session. In western Iowa, a Pottawatomie County Education Reform Town Hall meeting will take place at 4 p.m. on September 13th, and that'll be held in the auditorium at the Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln High School at 1205 Bonham Avenue. A new study finds that Iowa children feel healthier, happier, and safer than children do nationally. The Iowa Child and Family Household Health Survey was released Tuesday by the University of Iowa's Public Policy Center, which conducts the study every 5 years. The survey found 97% of children in Iowa have health insurance, compared to 91% nationally. 9 in 10 Iowa kids rate themselves in good or excellent health, and few have problems getting care when they need it. The vast majority of children reported feeling safe in communities and schools. Researcher Peter DiMonio said that in a statement, Iowa's children are generally quite healthy and safe, and Iowans should be proud of parents, schools, and communities. He says low-income children face disparities that could be addressed. The Cass County Board of Supervisors have a light agenda for their meeting this morning here in Atlantic. The only action item on their agenda is establishing an hourly rate of pay and or daily rate for those township trustees who are engaged in official township business. That includes a rate of pay for when the trustees act as fence viewers. The Board of Supervisors meeting gets underway at 9 o'clock. And the Adair County Board of Supervisors will hold their regular weekly session this morning in their boardroom at the courthouse in Greenfield. And during their session, which also begins at 9 a.m., the board will discuss decorations on the square with Carol Miller. They'll also hear from VA Administrator Rick Strecker with regard to a VA commission appointment, and Mike Ladd with regard to a courtyard use permit application. The board will act on an agreement with the Southern Iowa Council of Governments, or SICOG, or the Housing Trust Fund, and discuss and or act on window contracts, a liquor license, and EMS grant application, along with a resolution pertaining to participation in the Mental Health Regionalization Plan. At 10 this morning, the Adair County Supervisors will hear from County Engineer Nick Kaufman with regard to a Mid-American Road Use Agreement for the Morning Light Wind Farm, valuation of shared pickup of Cass and Adair counties, and a collective bargaining agreement, in addition to the regular maintenance and activities report. The Atlantic City Council will take action on a trio of ordinances during their meeting this evening at City Hall. The Council will hold the second reading of an ordinance which serves to amend the ordinance by adding a new chapter pertaining to illegal dumping. The first reading was held August the 1st. The director of the Cass County Landfill has asked the county and city officials to adopt the ordinance so that there may be consistent rules and enforcement throughout the county. The ordinance would make it illegal to dump garbage, litter, refuse, rubbish, rubble, solid waste, or waste building materials in or on any public or private place within the city of Atlantic, except in authorized receptacles or in a state-licensed sanitary disposal facility. The second ordinance amends the city's code of ordinances by adopting a section entitled Private Wells. It comes as a result of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources modifying their rules and pertains to the classification of the old street garage site and two other sites from low to high risks for contamination. The ordinance would prohibit water wells, except those closed-loop systems, from within 1,000 feet of the sites at 1408 East 7th Street, 100 West 2nd Street, and 211 Commerce Street. And the council this evening will act on passing all three readings of an ordinance pertaining to no parking zones on the east side of Lynn Street from 7th to 8th Streets. It prohibits parking on the street from 7:45 a.m. to 3:15 p.m. while the school bus is loading and unloading preschool students. In a related matter, the Atlantic City Council will act on approving a request from Atlantic School District Transportation Director Dave Eccles and Police Chief Steve Green, calling for the creation of a school bus loading zone on the east side of the old Lincoln School, as that building is being used for preschoolers who would normally attend the Washington School. The council is also expected to hear a report from Chief Green during their meeting tonight, which begins at 5:30. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney says President Obama is running a campaign of jealousy and anger, and he tells the CBS This Morning program that Obama and Vice President Joe Biden are carrying out a divisive effort to keep from talking about the issues. The two campaigns got into a pitched battle yesterday after Biden told voters that Republicans are looking to put people back in chains. Consumer prices were unchanged in July from June as a small drop in energy costs offset slightly higher food prices. The CPI hasn't changed since March, evidence that the weak economy is keeping inflation in check. The Labor Department says core consumer prices, which exclude volatile food and energy costs, ticked up 0.1% last month. More expensive medical costs, clothing, and rents pushed up the core prices. Army psychiatrist Major Nidal Hassan is expected to plead not guilty to the deadly Fort Hood shooting rampage when he appears at a hearing today. Hassan isn't allowed to plead guilty because the government is pursuing the death penalty. 13 people were killed in that 2009 attack. And about 4 million Bumbo baby seats are being recalled after nearly two dozen reports of skull fractures. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says there's been at least 50 instances where the molded foam seats were placed on raised surfaces and the babies wiggled out of them and fell. News time is 8:12.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements, Phyllis Krogh, age 92 of Exira, died Friday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Phyllis Krogh will be held this morning at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Rilla Jean Shires, age 83 of Arizona and formerly of the Griswold and Elliott areas, died August the 8th in Cottonwood, Arizona. A memorial service for Rilla Shires will be held today at 3 o'clock in Cottonwood. Graveside services will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the Hillside Cemetery in Elliott. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. John Saunders, age 85 of Cedar Rapids and formerly of Cumberland, died Thursday. Funeral services for John Saunders will be held tomorrow at 10 a.m. at St. Timothy's Catholic Church, south of Cumberland. Roland Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. Del Ray Warner, age 61 of Adair, died Saturday. Memorial services for Del Warner will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair is in charge of arrangements. Gene Burnham, age 88 of Griswold, died Monday in Omaha. Funeral services for Gene Burnham will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Irene Jorgensen, age 86 of Audubon, died Sunday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Irene Jorgensen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon is in charge of the arrangements. Martha Larson, age 84 of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for Martha Larson will be held Thursday at 3 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. And Hazel Henningsen, age 92 of Walnut, died Tuesday. Services for Hazel Henningsen are currently pending at the Recon Beath Funeral Home in Oakland. The news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.